Welcome back to another episode of the Blackwatch Report. I'm your host, Thornrain. With me, as always, my co-host, Valorant extraordinaire, Kyle, the winner. How you doing tonight?
I'm definitively, at best, the second best in the server, in our secret Valorant server. Definitively worse than I play games, and probably worse than Hurix as well. But you know, I've been really digging the game, man. I'm actually pretty good at it because it doesn't require. It's more like flick aiming and timing and counterplay and like strategy and stuff, which I'm way better at than like tracking aim and stuff like that. So I don't know, man. I'm really digging it. Yeah, but you know, as the title says, we're not a Valorant podcast yet. We are still watching Overwatch. It was nice to take last week off as a break. I think you and I both kind of felt like that's what we needed to do. Like, Valorant had just dropped. Everyone in Tier 2 Overwatch was like, I hate this game. Yep. I'm not feeling like I want to be here anymore. Everything sucks. I'm leaving. And, like, we kind of felt the ripples of that, and it was going to us a little bit. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to just have an hour podcast where all we do is just rip on how crap the Tier 2 scene is because, like, we're just in the feels right now. Yep. And so we took a week. We played a crap ton of Valorant.
Yep.
Watched some Korean contenders
getting in. Like,
yep.
We had a good time playing with other podcasters, content creators, like, and just having a nice break.
We did like a high noon versus tactical crouch kind of thing, which was super duper fun. Like a lot of Overwatch people getting together and playing stuff. It's been fun, dude. It's been just a real, like, I love new game time. Like, when everyone kind of starts to feel out a new game. Like, we were with Realm when it came out. Yep. Like, we were with Apex when it came out. We're just, like, the new, fresh game feel where everyone's, like, exploring things together and, like, everyone's playing all the time. Like, it's such a good vibe. And we're still kind of coasting on it, which is really nice.
Yeah, and, but, like, hopefully with some of the news that we've got coming up, we can start to see a little resurgence into the Tier 2, because it's a trickle.
But, yeah.
It's been...
I think...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like it's... We're starting to see some lights again. Like, things were like this in December, I think. And then we got the Breakable Barriers tournament, and, like, everyone was just loving it because you had streamers participating. You had lots of fun things that could happen from it. It just seemed like it was much more like fluid, and it wasn't just the same old thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of getting that again. So I guess maybe now is a good time to jump into the news section.
Yeah, let's roll right down into the news. News is brought to you by our Patreons this week. Mr. Thugly is our sponsor. Thank you so much, Thugly. Kyle, take us away with this new tournament that is dropping this weekend.
So, Blinky? Is that his name? Who is it?
Blinky Please. Yes, sir.
Blinky Please. Yeah, he posted that he'd been working on this for a hot minute. And this is the Overwatch Echo Ops, or Flash Ops Echo Showdown. And it's basically, the description is, focus your beams, prime your sticky bombs, get ready to glide into the Echo Showdown, celebrate the introduction of the new hero Echo, and give players a chance to show off their skills in this advanced evolutionary combat robot. We're hosting a tournament that's open to everyone. Signups April 14th to April 17th. Matches this weekend, April 18th and 19th, using the Game Battles tournament platform. Matches start... NA at 1 o'clock Pacific, both days. EU starts at 3 a.m. Pacific, which is, I think, probably 1 o'clock EU as well. Everyone's gonna have to play Echo. Like, participating teams will always be required to have an Echo in play. Overwatch League and Contenders players will be eligible to compete, though only two can play on a team at a given time, which is nuts. I love that. I hope we see people actually doing it.
Like, I want to see weird things. Like, I want to see, like, Carpe Decod, and then just a bunch of no names. Like, give me just really weird combinations of Overwatch League contenders players and then just like ladder stars. That's what I want to see.
I want to see like Sinatra, Moth, and then like you, me, and Deathblow.
Yeah, like it's something super weird. Actually, you know what? I got a couple DMs open. No, like, yeah, I'm right? Too garbage to even get carried by Overwatch League players. There's no way that would work.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
I think the biggest news on this is the prize pool, because, good God, this is actually a pretty substantial amount of money that's going out here.
That's 25K per region. That's pretty good. For a weekend. It's for not a like, weekend. What do you get for contenders? Like, how much for a week? 10K for winning the first week. It looks about 25K, right? 10.
Yeah, it's plus about the same as a regular contenders weekend.
Which is pretty good.
Where was it? Where was the pricing? Hold on, let me click on this.
It shows it on the individual weeks. You can view like first place is 10K, second's 5K, and then 3. Yep. And a little bit for third and fourth. That it feels like it reaches out to be that about.
First place is 10K, 5K for second place, third and fourth are 2,500, and then fifth through eighth is $1,250. So I mean,
yeah, total prize pool for the entire contender season is 175K, which divided by what, five? Divided by five is 35-ish. So it's about pretty close. Yeah, it's like about close. Yeah.
But definitely an interesting turn. Like, nobody was really expecting this. But it's nice to see. The only thing I'm not seeing is if anything is going to be streamed or like there's no news on that. I would hope
absolutely, because anyone who tunes into Overwatch on Twitch TV during the Flash Ops Echo Showdown tournament will receive 6 Echo-themed sprays, 2 awarded at each 2, 4, and 6-hour time watch benchmarks to blast around the battlefield between executing your usual flight routines. You gotta connect your Blizzard account, yada, yada, yada. So it obviously will be streamed, just not super sure where, probably on the path to... But it's on Twitch.
Ooh. That's the weird thing, is like, I thought not that there was exclusive. A YouTube exclusive. That's very interesting. And it's running from the 14th through the 20th.
Probably on the Play Overwatch, where they do like, what's it called? Where they do like World Cup and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that wouldn't surprise me if it was on the Play Overwatch Twitch. But yeah, that's interesting. Twitch drops coming back.
I can dig it. But that's essentially it for the scene news. I mean, there's a little bit of news about hero pools. It's not changed too much. Overwatch League contenders were identical. Now comp is also going to be identical. Really not covering a whole lot of that. What's that?
Does kind of mean that it's going to get a little weird, because
you could end up
like
with
pools from,
I think it's top 500
maybe contenders. But it's still pulling from comp. Like, what were the banned heroes this week? I can't remember.
McCree, Widow,
Reinhardt.
Was it Reinhardt again?
Reinhardt, like Anna or something. I don't recall, but yeah, I think that gets a little shenanigans-y at that point. I don't know, like
right in here. Did they not post it on the Twitter? Apparently not.
Guess not. Hero pool reveal. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna actually watch the video. We're gonna pull it up. I don't give a crap.
Yeah, they show usually me. At least post it.
But... yeah, McCree, Widow, Reinhardt, Brig. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. And so that is pulled from comp, probably top 500 or GM or whatever, plus contenders, plus Overwatch League. And it's all the same one for all three. And it's, I don't know what the balance is, but I've heard good things about like how it's being weighed.
Yeah, Captain Planet said that it's a pretty good system. And if I'm going to trust anybody on numbers, it's Captain Planet. Like,
yeah,
pretty solid with numbers. But
yeah, I think it's interesting. It's good to see. It's something that like was kind of like a why would you not do that in the first place kind of mm-hmm. thing. Like, that's kind of what we were all looking for. But I don't know. Like, I'm glad that they don't just like stay in their bad decisions. Like, nope, we're staying with what we're doing. This is the decision we made. We're not changing. At least they're willing to make the adjustments and like, listen, that wasn't the right call. Let's try something else. But like, it would have been better to just make the right call in the first place when basically we all knew that was the right call to make.
Everyone was saying like, if you're going to do it, run it across the board. Don't like break it up and make people. How are pros and semi-pros supposed to practice certain comps if they can't do it in competitive because there's different hero bands? Like, so this is, it's a step. Don't know if it's the right step. We'll wait and see. Hopefully they keep evolving and changing as time goes on. Well, let's move down into... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, it just kind of is all part of the, like, now that we do have hero bands as a thing, like, that is the... It's the best course of action, but I, you know, going back, I was never ever on board with like hero bands being the play. I mm-hmm. thought that it was just if you patch more drastically, more often, we'll be fine. But if we're gonna do hero bands, at least we're doing it the most logical way.
Yep.
But yes, roster moves,
because there is technically a lot. We're only gonna cover a portion of them. So Kyle, take us away on this first one that is literally going to lead into the next four.
It does. Yeah. So basically what happened was, we heard rumors in the past of Overactive Media, who owns Toronto Defiant, laying off a bunch of people in one of their offices somewhere. I think it's like Rochester or something.
The Splice office out of Rochester.
Basically, times are hitting them hard, obviously, with the virus and stuff. People are a lot of people have been getting straight up laid off, which mm-hmm. blows. What this means is they're cutting non-essential staff, and guess who is now considered non-essential? The Montreal Rebellion. They have basically shut down the Montreal Rebellion. Now the remaining teams that we have are Envy, Boston, British Hurricane,
Paris,
and T1,
yeah.
Who did you say
before? Paris.
No, I thought they dropped.
Wait, Eternal dropped again?
Did they? Or maybe I'm just thinking of the first time. Let me find out. No, they still have an active roster. I'm tripping.
Okay, I was going to say
in the toilet. Yeah.
Holy crap! I missed a whole team leaving, and then
because they dropped previously, they dropped in the past, and mm-hmm. then they brought it back.
And then they came back. Now, one of the tweets that I read about Montreal was that this was potentially a temporary thing. Like, they could come back. It's just that the COVID-19 was just decimating funds everywhere.
I don't think it's like the team is not making the amount of money that they were because Toronto was, I assume, going to be banking on making a ridiculous amount of money from ticket sales and merch sales at their events. Yeah. So their predicted income for the year was like way, way, way more than it's actually going to be actually. So they have to cut costs to try to equal out, you know, that.
And
I'm talking like someone who has any business knowledge whatsoever. I don't know crap all about business, dude. Like, I have a very moderate understanding of things. So I'm just saying they thought they were going to make a lot of money. They aren't going to make as much money. So now they have to spend less money. That's all I can really say.
And one of the things that Overactive Media said going into Contenders with Montreal Rebellion is they had planned to do like home games for Montreal. So people could come and watch the guys play. Well, that's currently like illegal. So they were banking on a lot of factors that kind of got squashed with COVID. So mm-hmm. I'm really hoping to see Montreal come back. I liked the team. The ownership seemed really cool. Like, they seemed like they wanted to actually push funding and backing behind their tier two team. So it's tough, but let's talk about a little bit of the moves that are going to be going on because of the Rebellion shutting down. Shu, Leaf, and Tanzeek all announced full retirements. They are done with Overwatch. It was basically the final step of their career. Once Rebellion shut down, they're like, you know what? It's time to move on to other things. I'm sure we will see them in Valorant.
I know Tanzeek is already like big into it. I saw his name on a whole bunch of crap. I think he's kind of got that same, like, I'm just everywhere all the time. I think he was managing two different teams. I think he was managing both Nitriki and Montreal, I think. And so, like, it doesn't surprise me that he is going to do other stuff over there as well.
And then looking at Leaf, continue Valorant, Avec. Oh, he's typing in a different language. Let me. I'm like, what the hell is Avec?
What is this? It's like, oh, that's French because he's French.
Because he's French, dummy. We continue Valorant with Shu, among others. So him and Shu are both, you know, really pushing through the Valorant, which was to be expected. We saw a lot of people going. But, you know, good on them. Like, at least it was at a time where there was something they could transition into. Hopefully it works out for him.
Tanzeek was officially Nitriki Esports and Montreal's manager from early January to basically recently. Okay. And then other things that we know is Numlock, who basically just joined the team as well. Like, when did he join?
The start of this contender season.
March 18th, dude. Oh, that's so recent. He was on for less than a month. That's like three weeks.
He got the 2 weeks of contenders in with him. And then,
and then goodbye. And same with Shockwave as well. But yeah, Numlock says he will still entertain OW offers, but is looking outside of Overwatch for opportunities, as expected. But like, bruh, for a main tank who just got dropped from a tier two team, needing to like find a place to go, like, you are in the worst spot, because if you're like a DPS god, like, you can maybe make it to Valorant and be good, but like,
main tank aim,
after playing a literally aimless like hero or position, except for Orisa kind of, and maybe Fire Strikes, but like very like the least aim intensive hero in probably one of the lesser aim intensive games, going to one of the most aim intensive games, it's not a great spot to be in. It's unfortunate.
Speaking of Shockwave, who joined the team the same time Numlock did, Shockwave, Dredro, and Wraith, just free agents. They're still looking for contenders, OWL, high-level open division, trials teams. So some of the players are sticking around, going to try their, you know, their hand continuing in the path to pro here. So,
and what this also does mean for these other next two players is Roki and Mangachu are now officially just straight-up Toronto Defiant players. They're not 2-8 anymore. I don't think it's going to matter. It's not, I mean, like, now they have their chance to play. It just now means they don't have the chance to stay, like, warmed up on a contender team. Now they're just going to be bench boys.
I mean, unless they're playing the Boston Uprising, and then maybe we see a Roki-Mangachu duo, you know, getting pulled in for a match. That'd be pretty cool.
This last thing is just, I wanted to bring this up, is just showing to where everyone is going. And so I just basically pulled up the whole Liquipedia player transfers from like April, just to kind of get an idea of like what all has happened. So like, officially Tavik is out, he's retired. He's been playing around places for a while. Muffin, who was two-way, out because of sketchy things. Faz officially retires as well. Faz has been playing on a bunch of rosters for a while, mostly Phase 2, She's Money Crew. Other big names, Taimu officially retiring from Team Envy. still playing under contract with them, I think, for streaming, but is Valorant full time now. Sugarfree officially retired. Kib officially retired. Sherik, Gods Made. Muriz from Brazil. Olay from Brazil. Danye, Moose, all retired. Harblue actually
interesting
signs
one.
To Luminosity as a streamer, but I think that's just a streamer thing. Any other names I know of here?
Mistakes went to the Angry Titans.
As a flex support?
Yeah.
Did you hear
flex,
that?
Yeah.
He's like, a flex support now, crazy. Yeah.
So, we've got Shockwave, Sky Ripa, and I believe those are the only two that I recognize off of this.
He was on... What team was he on? He was on Young and Beautiful for a while.
They're and then making a new team going over to Raspberry Racers.
That's a pretty decent team.
Yeah, just a lot of people, you know, retiring, shifting positions. The coach for Skyfox is Ju Young. He's transitioning to inactive. I think that's basically about it from people that we really know anything about. But yeah, just a lot of movement, man. This is the reason we didn't want to do a show last week when all of this news was hitting. And it's just like, rip my heart out. It was tough last week.
And it would have been stuff like coming into as we were recording. Like, oh, God, now this person's gone. Like, oh, this person's gone, too. Like,
because it was Twitter was ablaze with retirement twitlongers. Like, it was bananas. But I do believe that is all of the news for the time being. Let's get down into the quick play here. We covered the semifinals and the finals of this past week's Korean contenders. I'm going to run through this bracket really, really quick. We saw Lucky Future 3-2 Battleica. Meta Athena falls to Top Honor 3-2. Runaway beats Oz Gaming 3-1 with O2 Blast winning over Looking for Sponsor 3-1. That sets up T1 versus Lucky Future. Lucky Future take that 3-0 over T1, which is kind of shocking considering T1 was looking really good there for a while.
Yeah, they won last year or last week. Mm-hmm. But Hero Pools will do that to you, I guess.
Hero Pools will do that to you. Gen G falls to Top Honor. Gen G, another big name, was doing pretty good. They lose 3-0. WGS Phoenix fall to Runaway 3-2, and then Element Mystic falling to O2 Blast 3-1, which sets up these semifinals, which I'll give the scorelines and then we will talk about them. Lucky Future falling to Top Honor. The big news here is Top Honor is the Open Division champions. Like, these are the guys that came from Open. Crazy, crazy to see them 3-0, basically a retirement home of Overwatch League players. And then we've got Runaway falling to O2 Blast 3-0. Blast just looking phenomenal running through this week of contenders here.
Yeah, they were looking really, really solid. There's not really too much to say besides, like, it is weird to get two weeks in a row 3-0 semifinals and finals from Korea. It seems things are just a little hectic over there, I guess. Like, I mean, it is everywhere, I guess, in terms of like hero pools, just meaning that like one team just gets it. You either get it or you don't, and if you get it, you win. If you don't, you lose. Like, very, very kind of simple, it seems. But let's kind of dive into this first match here. Lucky Future, as you had described, the retirement home of Overwatch pros, Top Honor, literally like a less, like a poorly marketed Runaway of like, it's just a bunch of people getting together. Yep. Like, they have a little cute drawn on Sharpie on their shirts kind of jersey.
Their logo literally like the is most like open MS of Paint. Teams. Like, it's great.
It is like the most just kind of just some friends getting together kind of vibes. And sure enough, like just like the friends club wins it out this time. 3-0 Top Honor over Lucky Future. looking at Top Honor, this is a team that I hadn't heard of, wanted to look into, like, what makes this team tick. And I think it's really two players that I see constantly. Kadia and Ruff. Kadia, the main tank, super duper strong main tank play. Going up against this matchup, plays against Tizzy, who literally like a Grand Finals Overwatch League caliber player.
Yep.
Give it, not on the Reinhardt, on the Orisa. But here he's playing the Reinhardt versus Kadia, who absolutely took him to school. Constantly hitting shatters on him, constantly out damaging him, constantly blocking Tizzy's shatters. Just looked like me playing against Bumper. Just like, just getting out, you know, outmatched at every corner. Definitely Kadia is one of the players that just seems to always be the last alive and always just like, always make things work for him, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird for a main tank. Usually the main tank just gets absolutely demolished, but Kadia manages to be aggressive, not die, make space, get kills, set up, you know, follow up and stuff like that.
And Kadia's counterpart, Slush, I think helps with that because Slush stayed high charge, build grab super fast. I'm just going to talk about one of his grabs really quick on Watch
Point Gibraltar. It was Crush, not Slush.
Was it Crush?
I think it's Crush. At least that's what Liquipedia says.
I swear on the VOD it says Slush. Unless
maybe, I don't know.
I mean, I could be completely wrong here. But I read Slush. So I'm going to go with Slush.
Cool.
But on Watch Point in Gibraltar on the defense, yeah, it was on their defense. Munchkin goes up in the, it's after they take point A, that side room that goes up into the spacecraft. Munchkin gets Death Blossom, hits it. The whole team, all the Top Honor is in this hallway. Munchkin literally should have just decimated them. Slush throws his grav, solo grabs Munchkin, and pulls him down to the bottom of the steps, and the rest of the team just walk up the steps, negating completely an ultimate. I mean, granted, for another ultimate, but they didn't even need it for the next fight. Just it was one of those big brain plays where it was like, I'm building them so quick, I can use it here to, you know, shut down Munchkin. Super
and
cool.
Still take like the 6v5 team fight, yeah, build up outside. Another half of a grab anyways.
Yep. Like the dude was bananas with his charge and his alt management. It was nuts.
And then, yeah, on the opposite side of that, we mentioned Munchkin not getting value from his Death Blossom. I mentioned the other big player, other than Kadia, is Ruff. They're his can DPS player. Mm-hmm. We saw him on the Reaper basically all weekend, and he was like, if this team was doing well, it was either Kadia or Ruff who found opportunities. And often it was both of them. It was often either a shatter to Death Blossom or just even a shatter to just shooting people on the ground as a Reaper. And both times it was just, you know, Kadia setting up, Ruff knocking him down. Really good Death Blossom value. I think there was one from like the top ropes on Ruins on Ilios, and he just got like three or four on a fight that would have basically been lost. Like they lost, I think, one or two of their players to start, and then Ruff Death Blossoms kind of equals it out and then swings the advantage back in the favor of Top Honor. So and really, really big play there.
I'm going to actually bounce off of that and talk about Lucky Future for 1 second, because I have a note on that exact Death Blossom, but from the Lucky Future side, because that Death Blossom shouldn't have gotten as many kills as it got.
Yeah.
Because it was used up on the top, like you said, from the top rope, because Ruff was actually going after the backline. He had both of the supports dead to rights in the Death Blossom. But Nuss, thinking, you know, big-brained, I'm going to boop him. And he boops him down onto the point, directly behind his Reinhardt, where the Death Blossom just decimates the front line. I believe he got Tizzy And I think both of the DPS off of that got a 3K, basically because Nuss threw him into the middle of his team. Yeah, the supports lived, but that wasn't enough to actually win the point there. So that was an unlucky boop coming from Lucky Future.
Yeah, and then kind of to finish off top honor here, Levels get some pretty good key boop kills. Levels, I think they gave him some other name on the cast. I'm just going to call him Levels. It's LVLZ. And then overall for the whole team, I think one of the things that like why they won is because Overwatch is a coordination game. Mm-hmm. Lucky Future are still very uncoordinated. Top Honor seem very coordinated, specifically with the tank battles. Top Honor is always, always, always pressuring down the front line of Lucky Future. Tizzy and Daco, I think, were both just getting nonstop bodied the entire time. Meanwhile, you had Crush, who I did find out apparently does play as Slush sometimes. So I think it's like an alternate name thing that he just plays in the server.
I was going to say, I know both. I saw an S.
Yeah. Him and Kadia both play just quite well, and they don't die, and they are able to find ways to pressure out the enemy front line way, way better. So I think that's it. Kind of came down to they just were more coordinated, knew how to play well together, knew how to take advantage of it's weird to call Tizzy and Daco a weak spot on this roster, but like, yeah. I guess maybe they are in this case.
Yeah. And then just really quick, it's weird because it was literally the first point of the whole series. Well, on Ilios, it was 99-0 in favor of Lucky Future, and I think this was actually the turning point for Lucky Future's whole progress the rest of the series, because Lucky Future should have won Well 100%. They were completely dominant. I don't think they lost anybody, maybe one or two leading up to it through the whole 99%. Up until the overtime hits, and Spera hits a massive EMP. He gets half of the team. They're able to clean up, and after that point, Lucky Future literally could not come back and secure anything off of that. Top Honor runs it back, takes it 199 after essentially what they should have lost. And then from there, it looked like Lucky Future was progressively just getting more and more disjointed and unorganized with their play after that moment. They were looking good that first 99%, and then it just started to all fall apart after that EMP, it looked like.
Yep. Yeah, and then I guess on the other side, Munchkin on Lucky Future was pretty good on the Tracer, but his Reaper was kind of silent. Rookies Tor was pretty good, winning a couple of good fights here and there, but like again, this team, as we've discussed many times, is like their individual parts are great, but if you put some eggs and some flour and some sugar in a bowl, it doesn't taste quite good. You have to do stuff with the ingredients to make it into a cake.
Yep. And that cake couldn't close out on fights. We saw huge shatters. We saw EMPs. We saw grabs, all resulting in no kills coming off of Lucky Future's side. Like I said,
it's not a very good cake.
After that one moment where they kind of got stomped on, things just fell apart. Like, if your DPS and your tanks aren't closing out on fights that you should win because you have half of the team laying on the ground in a shatter, or you catch a four-man EMP, or you get half of the team in a grav and you get no kills out of it, you're not doing the right things, man. You're just not.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Top Honor, 3-0's Lucky Future, moving Top Honor into the finals. On the other side of this bracket, we had Runaway and O2 Blast. I have significantly less notes on this one, I think, because again, dude,
I've got zero.
These were not only 3-0's, these were a fast 3-0's. This is a 2-1, 3-1, 3-1.
O2 is looking crazy good.
Including, okay, this, we'll talk about the finals later. I'm not gonna, one step at a time here. That was even more something to note. But yeah, dude, O2 Blast is looking powerful. Specifically, like, one of the things that we saw quite often here is Merritt playing the Widow, and he got like a pick on the Moira, and they're like, oh crap, like, ooh, this could be really good for them. Instead, they're like, okay, no, we're gonna do two swaps here, make a you know, a couple of smart moves, and then they just straight rotated around the point on Well, and then just crapped on the back line of Runaway, and then just made all the swaps, outplayed everything, and could, like, okay, well, now Merritt is useless on this Widow pick because it's just him by himself, not on the point. Just O2 Blast are understanding not only the counter picks, but the counter play as well. And like understanding, because they have a Widow, this means that they don't have as much consistent shield pressure and as much just straight pressure on the front line. So if we pressure their front line, cool, now they're going to die. And they just did that. And they just understand the game at a fundamental level and are able to act upon that as a team, which is huge. As well, frickin' Kalios, man. He was picked up to Boston Uprising Season 1 to be a Zarya specialist. Unfortunately, because it was dive, Zarya was almost never played, and then Note got basically good enough to be able to handle the Zarya role when it was needed. So Kalios wasn't needed anymore. But that he's still a good Zarya, just he wasn't able to play Zarya because his D.Va wasn't quite good enough to give him the starting spot. What this means now is he is pounding these teams at every different map that they play. Super duper high charge, super good grabs, very smart grabs as well. Gets six and always gets six or five when his team is able to follow up. There were basically no useless grabs that we saw from him. I think that like part of that is due to his decision making, part of that's due to the team's coordination. But they just played it super duper well. Do you have any notes on O2?
Not off of this one, because you basically covered everything that I was going to cover. No need to go into it. But these finals, man. O2 Blast versus Top Honor. O2 Blast 3-0 Top Honor. And have probably one of the most insane 2 CPs ever. Yep. So let's get right into this, because Hanamura's I don't even know how to explain it.
Third map too.
Yeah.
This was like the nail in the coffin. It was a 2-0 on Lijing Tower. I didn't see the actual percentage, unfortunately. I don't remember that offhand. Eichenwald was a 3-1. Like Top Honor got up to the bridge and like got held at the front doors. So they weren't able to win that key, like, you know, front door fight on the castle. And then Hanamura, O2 Blast completes the map. And I had to like go back and time this out. 1:08 from the time that they left spawn to the time the map was complete on their half. Then on their defense, they completely full hold Top Honor. They don't even get a tick. It was probably the most one-sided map I've seen in my entire life. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
And
like the joke is that like hit him with the 112, right? Like that's the Avast stream ism for doing it fast. Like the 112, like no, this is the 108.
Yeah.
I think this is maybe one of the fastest 2CP cap times we've ever seen ever.
I'm sure we'll be seeing something about if this is officially a record within the competitive, like, actual tournament scenes. But that 1:08, that is probably one of the fastest, if not the fastest, 2CP cap in history, comes off of the back of a failed Symmetra teleport. It was a busted teleport. Only, Crap, who's the main tank for O2 now? Why am I forgetting his name?
Yakpung.
Only Yakpung gets through the teleporter into the middle of the whole Top Honor squad. But what it does is it pulls all of the focus from Top Honor to Yakpung. which then allows the rest of O2 to literally walk in behind them and start picking people off in like this crazy one teleport pincer move. And then they just teleport to the second point and just decimate them as they're coming back from spawn. Like, the best failed attempt of 2CP ever recorded in Overwatch competitive. Watch just the first minute and 8 seconds of Hanamura finals, because it's crazy.
Yep. And then I guess the other thing to talk about, we already mentioned his Zarya once. Another thing he's been doing is whenever someone's like by themselves, like if they're in a fight and you've got someone trying to come back to the fight, they're just going to get roasted by Kylos before they even hit there. Again, big revs. Oh, this was a big one, dude. I'm so lucky I caught this, and I'm glad for the spectators catching it as well. What happened is Kalios had the grav, then he calls for Pelican to hack levels who had sound barrier. And what that meant is, obviously, when you get grav, the Lusu hides to not get part of the grav, and then sound barriers the grav to make everyone live. Like, no, Pelican caught him out in the little tiny stairs before they even got to the point. He couldn't do anything. The rest of his team got grabbed and they just got decimated. Like, that was such a good combo that we saw from this team. Again, coordination on point, as well as individual skill is there as well. I think like the individual skill was there for Lucky Future, but coordination was off.
Mm-hmm.
Coordination was really on for Top Honor, but like individual skill was kind of off for them. O2 Blast are the best of both worlds. Shout out to Hannah Montana.
That just happened. Yep. Damn millennials. But Yakpung, I even have a note here about him and I forgot his name, was a straight bully in this match. Literally just walking through shields and dropping chatters on the back line. Like, not even caring about the tank line of Top Honor at all. Just playing super aggro and making it work. But I think that comes off of the back of Kalios and his bubbles. Like, just all around, O2 Blast was firing on all cylinders this week.
Yep. And then on the Top Honor side, Kadia hits a pretty big shatter. And again, like I mentioned, follow up from Ruff. Ruff definitely seems like the linchpin. Like, if he's able to do his thing, he'll find value. But like, if he's been shut down or if the rest of his team is dead, he can't really find value. So it kind of goes rough for them at that point. Mm-hmm. Ha ha.
Puns. Yeah. And then they ran this weird dual main tank on attack Hanamura for the majority of their attack. And then they switched off to Rein D.Va a little bit later, which I think was a little too late, but it really wasn't working. They were trying to set up a halt Doomfist combo, but just they could never land it. Did them no good, and I think they kind of died on that hill. No chance whatsoever running Reinhardt, Orisa into probably one of the most coordinated teams playing in Contender's career right now.
Yep, but that's about it that we have for this Top Honor O2 Blast. O2 Blast looking pretty good. How did they do last week? I forgot what they did on week one. Or not last week, but 2 weeks ago.
I think
they lost 3-2 to T1, and that was the match that I'm like, that's got to be the closest match. I wish we had been able to see that one, because that was the only 3-2 we had seen in this entire season, in that entire week, I mean. They were very, very narrowly away from beating out T1 and moving on. They would have very likely won the whole thing at that point.
Yeah, and now that I'm thinking about it, this is O2 Blast's first Contenders Championship win. They've never won any of the Contenders series before, so this was pretty big for them, considering they've been a contender. They've looked good most seasons, but they just usually couldn't get over that hump of
They got second in Pacific Showdown, second in 2019 season one, second in 2018 season one.
Yep. They just couldn't ever close it out. So
always a bridesmaid, never a bride until now.
Until this week. So congratulations to O2.
Their former roster. Holy crap, dude. It looks like Sky Fox is out here with the amount of players that they have previously had on their roster.
And the thing is I think a couple seasons ago, they had a bunch of their players actually get picked up into the Overwatch League.
So. That they became the first season Toronto Defiant, second season Toronto Defiant.
Yep. But the no main discussion this week because there wasn't a whole lot that we could watch and really go over. Don't know exactly what's happening with Trials or Contenders yet because Open Division is still going on. I believe this is the last week of Open Division. I'll have to double check on that. But then we should be getting Open Division playoffs leading into Trials next week, I believe. So we'll start looking at those here shortly. But Kyle, where can they find you on the internet? Other than Valorant.
Yeah, you can find me on Valorant at Kyle the Winner, hashtag NA1 if you want to play. But that's about it, really. Like Twitter, you can catch me at Kyle the Winner there as well. High Noon Discord, we're still chatting Overwatch stuff as it's happening. We've got some weird things that have happened in the teams. Matches still happening on the weekends. I think we're starting Thursday this week, which is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We're recording on a Wednesday today, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
Because I had something come up yesterday, but yeah, I mean, just Kyle the Winner everywhere. Come in the Discord, chat with us, all that stuff.
Yes, definitely. You can find me over on Twitter at ThornRain. I do all of my streaming right here. I do have kind of a new setup I'm going to try here tonight after we wrap up. Hopefully my Valorant streams will actually work now. I found out some things about Streamlabs OBS that I got to move away from. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. You can email the show blackwatchreport@gmail.com and follow the show right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/Blackwatch Report. We record live Tuesdays, typically 6 p.m. Eastern. Our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can come over to highnoonpodcast.com and find all of our shows and then join that Discord that Kyle was talking about over at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.